Morning Watch, Crystallization Study of 1st and 2nd Peter, Week 3, The Christian Life and Its Sufferings. Wednesday Related Verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But according to the Holy One who called you, you yourselves also be holy in all your manner of life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 12 and 25. Verse 12. Having your manner of life excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the matter concerning which they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, as they see them with their own eyes, glorify God in the day of his visitation. Verse 25. For you were like sheep, being led astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, 5 through 7, and 14. Verse 1. Therefore let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, put away every encumbrance, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us. Verse 2. Looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 5. And you have completely forgotten the exhortation which reasons with you as with sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when reproved by him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? Verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good manner of life his works in meekness of wisdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church. Suggested reading. In order to be our living shepherd, it is necessary for Christ to dwell within us. If Christ today were not the life-giving Spirit in us, if he were only the exalted Lord in an objective way in the third heaven, how could he be our shepherd? For Christ to be our shepherd, he must be with us, even in us. Many times he goes along with us in order to turn us back. Consider how the Lord was the shepherd to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. These disciples were going in one direction, but the Lord went with them in order to turn them to go in another direction. Luke chapter 24, verse 15 says, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. After walking a while together, they constrained the Lord to stay with them. Then, as he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, their eyes were opened, and they knew him." This is an example of the Lord's shepherding. Christ is also the overseer of our souls. I wonder how many Christians have experienced Christ as an overseer, as an elder. According to our experience, the Lord as the overseer is one who cares for us. For him to oversee us means that he takes care of us. As the overseer, the Lord does not govern us or rule over us. Rather, he cares for us as a mother cares for her child. A mother oversees her child with the purpose of caring for the child. She wants to take care of every need. The same is true of Christ as our overseer. The manner of life spoken of in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 must be the holy manner of life and the good manner of life in Christ, a life not only for God, but filled and saturated with God. This manner of life is versus the vain manner of life of the unbelievers. The believer's manner of life should be excellent. That is, it should be beautiful in its virtues. We need to have such a life among the nations, among the Gentiles. According to verse 12, if we have an excellent manner of life among the nations, they, by observing our good works, will glorify God in the day of visitation. The day of visitation is the day when God will look upon his pilgrim people as a shepherd over his wandering sheep. He will look upon them and will become the shepherd and overseer of their souls. Hence, the day of visitation is the time of God's overseeing care. Concerning the understanding of the day of visitation mentioned in verse 12, there are different schools of interpretation. One school says that the day of visitation is the day of judgment. However, if we look into the meaning of the Greek word, we shall find that it does not convey the thought of judgment. As we have pointed out, the basic meaning is to observe, inspect, oversee, look upon. In the New Testament, elders are called overseers, those who oversee. The root of the Greek word for visitation is the same as that of the Greek word for overseers. Peter's thought here is that the day of visitation is the time when God will look upon his pilgrim people as a shepherd looking upon his sheep. Then God will become to them the shepherd and overseer of their souls. With this understanding of the word visitation as our basis, we may go on to say that the day of visitation is the time of God's overseeing care. To make the matter simple, we may say that the day of God's visitation is the day God comes to visit us. When God pays us a visit, that is the day of visitation.